The Punter's Mate with Mark Braybrook and Chris Nelson for Racing Queensland.
Friday rolls around, and for those in Brisbane, it's a public holiday, so the roads around the capital of Queensland are very, very quiet this morning, but it must feel odd when those that live on the coast, etc., in other areas outside of Brisbane, but work in Brizzy, don't have to go to work.
Exactly. It's a good day for some. And, of course, this is the Eka Day holiday, Mark, that we didn't get in August. So
we don't get today either.
It's a long weekend. No, that's right. Yeah. But some do, and let's hope they enjoy it.
Yeah, it's a big weekend. Derby Day, of course, in Melbourne. Golden Eagle in Sydney. So huge prize money up for grabs this weekend.
$7.5 million for the Golden Eagle total prize. 10% of that goes to charity. Each horse has got a charity. So 10% of the winning prize money goes to charity. Four Group 1s in Melbourne. And, of course, we've got 10 races at Eagle Farm locally.
How do you think Desley Foster will be feeling this morning?
Very, very, well, nervous, but probably not excited. As nervous as tomorrow morning. That's for sure. So, yeah, looking forward to having a chat to her very shortly and see how she's coping with it all.
Mm. Yeah, she'll be on the program very shortly. Now, let's have a look at your highlights from last week because it's been a big week.
It has been a big week. Now, my highlights last week started on Friday night when Jonker, of course, won the Manicato Stakes at Moonee Valley for Tony Gowan.
I fell asleep. All right? I fell asleep and woke up and checked the results and saw that Jonker had won. So I got online and rewound to try and find the race and it was very impressive.
Yeah, well, look, he didn't win by a lot, but he was very tough. I mean, don't need to win by a lot either, but I thought the ride was good. He didn't jump all that well, but he wanted the front. That was the plan. He got the front, crossed to the fence, and was able to hold off a late closing finisher there. So a great result for Tony Gowan.
Yeah, and he was on the program with Patton Heels on Monday. Very excited. And, of course, Jonker's still an entire.
Yes.
So that's a massive result, winning a Group 1.
And I think Jonker now will be heading towards the Magic Millions.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
Time of year, which he won a race, I think, last year during Magic Millions. So good luck there. Go Wonji was another highlight, I thought, on Saturday. What a win that was.
Go Wonji, I mean, he got beaten at Warwick.
Yeah, but there are reasons
for
that. I know,
but I'm just saying, he gets beaten at Warwick and then comes out, and now everyone's talking about it for the right reasons.
Yeah, he's only had a handful of starts, and he won his first three. His fourth was a good one at Eagle Farm. He went for the break, and then at Warwick he drew way back in the field. His run was a good one to run second to Festival Prince, who we'll get to later in the show. My other highlight was Sir Warwick winning four straight. He stepped to 1350. And he won again. He's flying. He's had four runs since coming from the south, and all of them have been wins. And his trainer, Jake Capewell, we'll have a chat to after the 9 o'clock news. So looking forward to that. So they're my three highlights.
Can I throw in a highlight?
Yes, you can.
The 7 from 7 at Toowoomba with all the female jockeys. I mean, Ange Jones has been in outstanding form for months now. But, yeah, to have the card ridden by the girls, I think it's pretty special. It's a rarity.
Well, it is, but look, it's becoming more and more likely. I mean, the girls ride so well. They do. They ride lighter than the guys most of the time. And, yeah, no surprise to see that happen. It won't be the last time.
And some news on the Inter-Dominion as well during the week.
Yes, the Inter-Dominion is returning to Queensland in 2023. We haven't seen the Inter-Dominion in Queensland since the Gold Coast in 2009. So 2022 will be in Victoria. This year's event in New South Wales, 22 in Victoria and 23 in Queensland, of course. So really looking forward to that. Now we have to get out. We have to plan that, Mark. 2023. We've got 2 years to organise a night out at the Trots.
Well, I remember in the 1900s, the Inter-Dominion was really, really big.
It was
in the 1800s,
yep.
Or the 1990s, and the 1000—what's this 2023 rubbish?
What am I supposed to say?
2023.
Oh, I don't really care.
Right, we go back to 1984 when this
that
happened.
That sounds better. I like that.
Please,
I might go with that.
Don't you start with 2023. It's 2023.
2020. All right, I'll go with that from now on. Yes, I'll make sure I remember that.
Channel 7.
Channel 7, yeah. Well, this was always going to happen, that Channel 7 were going to do free-to-air for Brisbane to join the coverage with Sydney and Melbourne. Now that's been confirmed. Obviously, the Winter Carnival, the Summer Carnival, but there's going to be a lot of meetings in between as well. That's been finalised and will kick off tomorrow at Eagle Farm. So you'll get free-to-air on Channel 7 tomorrow. Stephanie Rice, Olympic swimmer. Was she a gold medalist? I'm sure she was.
So that's for the remainder of 2021?
No, probably not. I'm not sure, but It will kick off. It hasn't been set in concrete yet as to which dates, but it definitely will be tomorrow, and it definitely will be the summer carnival, the winter carnival, and I'd say most in between, but exactly which dates I don't know. And it will be hosted by Steph Rice.
Okay, that's, you know, any sport that gets free-to-air coverage, it's a huge boost to that particular sport.
It's funny, we're going back to the future because that's what it used to be.
Yeah.
It's funny, isn't it? You go back, all these pay TV and everything, you go round and round and round and come back to the same thing.
Life tends to be like that.
It does,
Chris,
doesn't it?
Life tends to be like that.
That's why I don't throw out any old clothes, Mark.
I see that. Now, we better take a break. This is the Punter's Mate. It's all thanks to Aquis, Australia's leading stallion facility, and Racing Queensland. Queensland is racing. The action continues this week right across the state. RacingQueensland.com.au. We might as well just say where they're racing because today I think they're
Kilcoy
and Rocky today. Harness Racing, Albion Park, Greyhounds, Ipswich in Townsville. Tomorrow, Eagle Farm, Aquis Park, Gold Coast, Toowoomba, Aquis Bow Desert, Buckalden, Home Hill, Dolby, Cloncurry, Yeppoon. And then Albion Park for the Trots and Greyhounds at Ippy on Melbourne Cup Day.
You ready? I was going to say you'll need an hour to read these out.
Eagle Farm, Aquis Park, Gold Coast, Sunny Coast, Mackay, Longreach, Coombia, Gladstone, Toowoomba, Townsville, Mount Isa, Bundaberg. That's the thoroughbreds. For
12
Tuesday.
Meetings.
12 meetings. A lot of jockeys required. A lot of horses required. Busy day for trainers. I wonder what shape Desley Forster is going to be. Okay. I'm on Tuesday. We want tips for you from Gladstone, Longreach as well.
Well, there's no use in me doing those because you can't back them unless you're on course.
But that's the point. You just made the point. You just made the point about how busy you're going to be with 12 meetings, and you've already brushed two of them.
I've brushed a lot more yet, too.
A break and back with more.
The Punter's Mate for Racing Queensland.
And it's all thanks to Aquis, Queensland's largest stallion facility, standing 16 world-credentialed stallions. Visit aquisfarm.com. As we mentioned, Chris, a massive weekend of racing all around the country. Of course, plenty of meetings here in Queensland, but Derby Day in Melbourne and Golden Eagle Day in Sydney.
Yes, Mark, and we've got Desley Forster joining us this morning. And Desley, of course, is the trainer of Apache Chase, who is going around in that $7.5 million Golden Eagle. How are the nerves, Desley? Good morning to you.
Good morning, Chris. No, the nerves are good, thank you.
Yeah, no stress? You're sleeping okay?
Oh, well, as I said, didn't get much sleep last night. We drove down yesterday, so no, it's all good.
So you're in Sydney?
Yep.
Okay. And how has the horse settled in?
He's settled in really well. He put his head in the feature as soon as he arrived here this morning, and he's very happy.
Okay, and you've had him out doing any work on the track. What's the plan from, say, this morning to tomorrow?
No, not much. He's as good as I can have him. He'll just have a nice long walk this afternoon, another walk tomorrow morning, and he'll be ready to go.
Desley, I had a look earlier today at the conditions. I think the forecast today for Sydney is 35 or something and really windy. So the track I'm expecting will be a firm surface. Is that what you're expecting tomorrow?
Yep. A little bit cool here early this morning. It wasn't cool. Probably about 15 or 16 degrees, but it's warming up now. They're saying it's going to be windy today, which have picked up. But like I said, not really concerned about what the track's going to be. Apache's pretty good. He just deals with what circumstance we've got, likes. He doesn't mind the firm tracks. So, yeah, what we're dealt with will just be deal with.
Yeah, well, he's got a good record at Eagle Farm, and, of course, that's quite a firm track, so that's not going to pose any problems at Rose Hill tomorrow. How do you see the map, Desley? I know you really want to go forward, of course. That's the horse's pattern. Do you see much opposition early on?
Oh, look, there's a couple there that have drawn inside of us that have got speed. Waterhouse Bot, it'll roll forward. It's from that gate, so she'll probably want to lead. Gerald Ryan's horse, that's got the one, it'll probably be there somewhere. But, like, we're really not concerned about what they're all going to do. We'll just ride him to where he's happy, and Jimmy knows him well. He'll ride him where he's in the rhythm. And said, if somebody wants to go hard and lead, all the better. We proved that last start, we don't have to lead. So he'll just, generally just ride him where he's in his comfort zone.
I was going to say,
go fast enough.
Yeah, I was going to say, you rode him not leading in the trial, and then you did the same thing chasing Emerald Kingdom first up. So he's not the sort of horse that has to lead at all costs. Just say, get him comfortable in a nice spot.
Exactly what I said, get him in a comfort zone. I said, Jimmy knows him really well. And I said, he knows when the, he can pick up and make a long, you know, I can pick up the tempo and make it a high pressure race from probably 600 out and make it a genuine run race. Like 1500 is not an issue for him. We know he can run, he'll run that trip out really well. He's third up, which is probably his best. And as I said, firm track. And if Rosehill's playing to like a bit leaderish tomorrow, it'll be even better.
Now, you've also got stablemate Georgie's Pride going around in race number one. What did you make of the last start placing? Georgie's just didn't seem to have the same dash in the straight, but look, did go pretty hard early on that occasion.
Yeah, as I said, she snapped away only probably moderate and then just had a couple underneath her, probably kick up and made it work a bit early. And Jimmy sort of gave her a little bit of a squeeze, and she wanted to go hard between the 600 and the 800, really keen, the 800, 600, sorry. And it was really, really going really strong and keen and probably just told on end. But people don't realise they're open quality horses she's racing against, you know what I mean? So, like, I think Royal Halo ran about, what, 2 lengths behind Apache Chase in the Wheatwood. So it's not as if she was beaten by a bad horse.
No.
Said, he's going really well, and if you do the form, he's got really good Eagle Farm form as well. And as I said, she only got beat, what, 2 lengths, so it wasn't if she ran bad. She's dropping back to a 78 fillies and mares race tomorrow, so there is a little bit of speed in this race too, but just said Jimmy's just happy to let the speed go, ride her where she's happy. And the good thing about Georgie and Apache Chase is they get into a rhythm, they got very high cruising speed, and once they get into that rhythm, they continue to keep up the same speed. They don't go any slower, they just keep going at the same speed.
Another one of your stable stars at the moment, the two-year-old Exo Lady. What are the plans for her? She's 2 from 2 so far.
She's just gone out to have a little bit of a break. She'll probably come back and run in the Callaway Girl on the 11th of December and then run in another race on, I think it's Boxing Day, and then she'll go out and get ready for the Winter Carnival after that.
And chapter and verse?
He's down to run at Eagle Farm on Tuesday just because he's been away for so long, getting ready for the Magic Millions in the Summer Series. May give him a run at Eagle Farm on Tuesday, but just depends. As I said, they'll probably be too sharp for him, over 1,000, but because he's been away so long, I just think going to the races won't hurt him to go there and have a little whirl around, because he's pretty big and burly, and he's a pretty big horse now that he's had a long time away from the races. He's really matured and he's filled out. So he'll probably may go to the races on Tuesday and have a little burl around, and then probably may run in about 2 weeks' time in a 1,200-metre race.
Desley, easy enough for you to get down to Sydney. What happens getting home? How do you get home after the weekend? Or are you?
just go home and do the 14 days quarantine like everyone else has to.
Okay, so you're able to quarantine at home, no dramas, or do you have to quarantine in a hotel?
I go back and do the quarantine in the hotel.
Okay. It'd be worth it if Apache Chase can get up for you tomorrow at Rosehill. Thank you so much for your time. We've got our fingers crossed for you. We'll be watching with bated breath. Good luck.
Thanks, guys. Thank
you. Good luck, Desley.
She's Desley Forster. And good luck to Jimmy Byrne as well. Yeah. He's the one that has to steer Apache Chase around. And it's going to be a terrific race. And that's a big, big sacrifice to make.
Oh, you think you might hang around for another couple of weeks and it might change. You're likely to get halfway through quarantine and it changes.
Well, I can't remember what the rule is from November 17, isn't it?
December, I don't know.
No, there's two. There's the 70% and the 80%. So anyway, good luck to Desley,
fingers
the connections
crossed. Very exciting.
And to Jimmy Byrne. It'll be all worth it. As I said, easy enough to get down there. It's getting back. That's
if
the
you've
issue.
Got a few million prize money. I don't think it's going to make any difference. You'll sit in a hotel forever.
Big weekend of sport. We'll check in with Scott Cross from Crossbet after the break on The Punter's Mate.
The Punter's Mate for Racing Queensland.
Freshen up your punting this spring with Crossbet. Download the Crossbet app today and gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858. I saw a big Crossbet billboard driving home from work yesterday.
Really?
Yes. Scott Cross, good morning. How are you?
Very well. How are you?
I'm well, mate. Big weekend. Paddy Welsh has left the building, as excited as I've ever seen him. Are you excited, looking forward to Derby Day and Golden Eagle weekend?
Oh, look, absolutely. It's just, you know, this time of year is just sensational for punting fans. I mean, when it comes to the Derby, what the best sort of three-year-old over 2,500, well, I mean, apart from Animo. When it comes here to the punting, look, the punters have come for three or four horses really here. It'd be no great surprise that the biggest hold is Gunstock, followed by Forgot You, Tutukaka, and the market mover at the moment is the Kieran Maher horse, Hitotsu. Look, I'm going to go a little bit wider here. I actually like the James Cummings horse, Allegron. At $8.50, I think there's a lot of value, and with Brett Preble on the back, he certainly knows how to win Group 1 this season.
Interesting. Hitotsu going, what, 900 metres rising in distance. Got to be a bit of a task.
Yeah, I mean, Hitotsu, it is a task, but the punters have come for it. Opened at 9, in at 6. I think that'll be the real question there, the distance.
It's a great race, the Derby. One of the, you know, most important races on any racing calendar. To win a Derby for horses is the ultimate, I think, in that respect. But the prize money is handy, but not as good as the prize money in the Golden Eagle. We just had Desley Forster online, Scott. Apache Chase will have all of Queensland supporting it. What does the market suggest for the Golden Eagle?
Yeah, another eye-watering amount of prize money, $7.5 million here. Look, at the moment, Apache Chase is our second biggest hold. I'm thunderstruck. Clearly is way ahead at the moment in terms of the hold. A little bit of money also coming for Private Eye. Ellsberg, a little bit recently. Look, as a Queenslander myself, Apache Chase is who I'll be going for. But, look, when it comes to punting, I think I'm thunderstruck in terms of form. In the race, Huey Bowman on board carrying 57.5. He's moved into $3.80, but I still think the money has value with I'm Thunderstruck.
Can you tell, Scott, there's a question without notice, can you tell where the money's coming from in terms of states? Do you find that, you know, a horse like Apache Chase will be better backed from your Queensland customers than, say, from Victorian customers?
Absolutely. And it's also the case when it comes to incentive offs as well. it seems to be us Queenslanders a little bit patriotic.
Funny that.
You know,
yeah.
And then you only need to go back to one of my old favourite horses, Apache Cat.
Yeah, yeah. And the same, look, you know, we see that in the footy as well, and others. Queenslanders very parochial. And look, good value for Apache Chase as well.
Definitely.
Now, the NFL, what a cracking game this morning, the Green Bay Packers against the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, look, the Green Bay Packers versus the undefeated Cardinals.
I can't believe that.
Few injuries on both sides. Oh, absolutely. Few injuries on both sides. The Packers are without their star wide receiver, Devontae Adams. However, they have gone 6-0 without him. The Cardinals are missing their defensive player of the year, J.J. Watt. Look, I think the Cardinals will get it done, but when it comes to betting, my money's on the Packers plus line at 7.5, but it's going to be a great game to watch.
Should be terrific, and Aaron Rodgers all year is just giving the one-finger salute to the Packers. He didn't train. No one thought he'd be here this year, but he has got them into a position whereby they could well be playing for that Super Bowl trophy come the end of the season. But there's a lot of water to go under the bridge between now and then. It's a terrific weekend, mate. Enjoy it, and we'll chat next week.
Take care.
Good on you, mate. Scott Cross there from Crossbet. Freshen up your punting this spring with Crossbet, Australia's freshest sports betting app. Download the Crossbet app today and gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858. Now, those stations leaving us, thanks very much for your company today. For those that are staying with us, Chris, it's basically, apart from your weekend forecast, the next part of the program has a specific Darling Downs theme, doesn't it?
Yeah, we're going to talk to Jake Capewell, a Toowoomba trainer who, of course, trains Sir Warwick, who's won four straight since coming from Victoria. So looking forward to Jake.
And Shane Shirley will be on board with his tips for Clifford Park tomorrow and get his thoughts on this 7 from 7 for the girls last Saturday at Toowoomba. But that's all we have time for this half hour. For those stations rejoining us, we look forward to your company then. For those leaving, have yourselves a great weekend. Enjoy the Derby tomorrow and the Golden Eagle. And we'll catch you next week. News is next.
Ooh.
The punt is made for Racing Queensland.
And it's also thanks to Aquas, Queensland's largest stallion facility, home to Pirata, Invader, Brave Smash, Dubious and more. Visit aquasfarm.com. Very shortly, we'll speak with Jake Capewell, who is riding the wave at the moment with Sir Warwick.
He is. Wave of success. Sir Warwick's flying, made it four straight at Doomben last Saturday.
Now, follow, fold or forgive, Chris Chameton.
Well, these are all follow, Mark.
Well, that's taken...
It's nice to be positive.
No, that's just taken the anticipation out.
Well, I might change my mind halfway through. Chameton, Tony Golan trains, was a very good
follow?
Run.
Follow?
Yes.
Yep.
That's funny
yep.
about that.
Yep.
Chameton's a definite follow. And that was out of race number three at Doomben last Saturday. Ran second to the stablemate, Lyrical Girl. Lyrical Girl had an easy time in front. Chameton had to make up the ground, and he nearly did. There was 0.1 of a length officially between the pair. I think he'll get out over further now, Chameton, but another win is not far away for him. So definitely follow Chameton.
I have a feeling the next one might be follow as well, Put on the Red Light.
It was the run of the day, and you'd have to say it was a good thing beaten, Put on the Red Light. Got back to the rear of the field, tried to get a clear run in the straight, couldn't get clear. Once Steph did get in the clear, the horse absolutely charged home and should have won. And look, that was bad news enough, but the fact that it was a sprint home suiting the winner who led all the way, Ryan Maloney, was able to dictate in front. That's even a bigger rap for Put on the Red Light to make that ground in a sprint home. So very good performance, Put on the Red Light. We'll be winning soon.
Festival Prince.
Now, Festival Prince won at Ipswich on Wednesday. Now, this is the horse that beat Go Wanji at Warwick. Okay. Both of them are definitely massive follows. Festival Prince is only lightly raced, as is Go Wanji, but he was very impressive there. He'll be winning in town. He can bring that form to town on a Saturday. Expect to see him soon.
And a drum roll, because we have an update on Garibaldi.
Oh, you might like to give the update, Mark. Did you see the trial?
No.
Okay, well, that's fine. I can tell
some
you the trial was
working.
Good.
Yeah,
no, the trial was good. So was I watching it.
Oh, yeah.
The trial was good. Sat out the back a little bit off the speed. Was beaten around a couple of lengths. Wasn't asked for a lot in the straight. So a nice little warm-up. He'll probably have another trial before we see him again.
I can't remember the last time Garibaldi actually raced in a race. We've been speaking about Garibaldi for months without him actually doing anything.
Winter Carnival.
Yeah, so there you go. That's your follow, fold or forgive, and as exclusively revealed at the top to take all the anticipation out of it, Chameton, Put on the Red Light,
radio,
Festival Prince are all follows,
yes.
As is Sir Warwick.
Yeah, he's flying, Sir Warwick. He's won four straight. We're going to talk to his trainer now, Jake Capewell. Jake, good morning to you.
Morning, guys. How are you going?
Very well. And yourself?
Yeah, well, thank you.
Now, before I ask you all about yourself, tell me, how did you pick up Sir Warwick?
So Sir Warwick, he came up from Melbourne. He obviously had a stack of embargoes on him. He came to me through Scott McAlpine. So Patrick Ferrugia, who's a 50% owner in the horse, him and Scott know each other through Harry McAlpine and Patrick's daughter, Jane. That's how it came to me. Scott sort of put them on to me to just say that we do a bit of re-education work. They made the call, and a week later the horse arrived.
What was your immediate reaction when you first set eyes on the horse and first got to work with the horse?
Look, he was a nice horse. Obviously, I knew a bit of background about him by the time he arrived. By Written Tycoon, was pretty excited to get the hands on him, really. You never know what to expect, but he had a lot of bad habits, just basics. A lot of the basics that he would have once been taught, he'd sort of gone away from, and he'd sort of, it was a lot of little things away from the barriers that we started to work on straight away, because we identified that these things that he would have been taught along the way somewhere, he just forgot to use them, basically.
Did you expect to have the success with him that you've had?
No, not at all. We start out with those horses, and our grand final is to get them back for the races.
Yep.
That's for us. We take a lot of pride in that itself. So to have a horse go on and win a race, it's icing on top. To win four in a row, you could have never imagined that at all.
Yeah. And the way that he's won those races, he's gone to the front, and a couple of those times, two back, he was absolutely dominant, just charging away from them. Where does he go from here? Has he gone for a break, or is there more racing to come?
So we're basically going to just give him a little bit of a freshen up now, and we'll make a decision on whether we go to the paddock with him. We'll just see how he fares after about a 10-day freshen up.
Mm-hmm.
We'll run some bloods on him, and we'll just have a good sit down and think, make a bit of a plan going forward. And if we think the best plan is to go to the paddock, that's what we will do. We've sort of, the whole way along, even after his first start, we've sort of said that if he gives us the slightest reason to go to the paddock, that's what we would do. Because, you know, the horse had five trials before we got him back to the races also. So it's been quite a probably strenuous preparation, really. We haven't done much with the horse in between runs because we do know in the back of our minds that he has had those trials as well. So, we're basically just going to be guided by the horse. There is a couple of nice races that will, in a couple of weeks' time, which will be about 4 weeks, 4 weeks and 5 weeks in between runs. So if he comes back from this freshen up and he's where we want him to be, that's where we will head.
Now, for listeners not familiar with yourself, what's your background?
So I'm from Charleville. Grew up out there. Went to boarding school for year 11 and 12 at Ipswich. Went back out west for the year after school. Then I went to the Territory for a few years. Come home from the Territory working on cattle stations up there. Went to Brett Kavanagh's at Albury. Did a season with Brett. Breaking in and shoeing and, you know, all the basically just whatever he needed of us down there. We were taking horses to the races. Brett had about 70-odd horses in work at that stage at Albury. So we went there and then we moved back to Toowoomba. We started our own breaking in pre-training business here in Toowoomba. And we've, since then, we bought a spelling farm also. So we got a breaking in and pre-training business at the spelling farm. We rent about 50 stables all up over at the Byrum Training Centre here at Toowoomba, and we run our breaking in and pre-training business out of there with the spelling on the side, and also now we've sort of started to delve into a bit of training as well.
Now, Jake, Capewell is a very famous surname in Charleville. You've got to be related, don't you?
Yeah, we are. We definitely are. Kurt's my youngest brother, so there's four of us.
And Luke, and yeah, okay.
So, and Luke's a cousin. So Luke
he's a cousin,
age.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a cousin. So he's the same age as me. We went to school together in Charleville also, yeah.
Now, for Chris, who's from Melbourne, Kurt Capewell, of course, just won the premiership with the Penrith Panthers and is coming to the Brisbane Broncos, and they just changed the name of Charleville to... Oh, they've done it a couple of times, haven't they? Mate, when Kurt was picked in Origin, now we got the key to the city last week or a couple of weeks ago. So you'd be, you know, the Capewell family is what basically owns Charleville.
The royal family.
Yeah, I'm not sure anyone's ever been given the key to the city. It's probably a first, to be honest. But, Charleville is a great, great community and... everyone's pretty close out there. Like all of, you know, everyone knows everyone out there. So look, yeah, they do all know the Capewells. Obviously, Kurt's he's flying the flag high for you know, sportsmen to look up to for the kids out there and that sort of stuff. And it's good. Like the community's really embraced it. And Zorro, the mayor out there, he's a great family friend, and he's. He's making, he's making sure that it gets the recognition that it deserves, I guess, to go on and do what Kurt's done with his football. Kurt's obviously really grateful for it, and it's probably a little bit, surreal, or at times you're sort of like, oh, you know, what's going on here? But if it was someone else in the community, it'd be the same thing, you know.
Yeah. Country towns are very close. Yeah, 100% right. But, mate, if Sir Warwick continues on this path, the way other horses out of Toowoomba have been of late, vis-a-vis incentivised, you might find yourself, next time I chat with Kurt, I might say, mate, are you Jake's brother? You know, that's
right. That,
He would hate that.
There might be even more reason to do it. Get him on with Paddy and Heels one morning and talk about Jake and Sir Warwick. Mate, thanks so much for your time. When I saw the surname there, I thought, I wonder. And then when you mentioned Charleville, I thought it has to be. It has to be a relation. So, mate, enjoy the ride. We'll keep an eye out and good luck. And thanks so much for your time this morning, mate.
No worries, guys. Thanks for having me on. And if you get the chance to slip that one into Kurt, make sure you do.
Oh, absolutely.
He will.
Dramas at all. Good on you, mate.
Thanks
for
Jake.
That. Yeah.
Terrific,
Jake. And Kurt's a lovely bloke. I first met Kurt when he played for the Ipswich Jets. He got his start with the Jets and then ended up at Cronulla and Penrith and, of course, now at the Brisbane Broncos. So when I saw that we were talking to Jake, I thought,
maybe.
Yeah. You never know, but... As soon as he said Charleville, I thought it has
to be.
So there you go.
Small world.
It is a small world. Mm. And he's making a name for himself.
He is.
In those training ranks. And it's amazing what's coming out of Toowoomba at the moment. In reality, I mean, Apache Chase is in the Golden Eagle and won the Wheatwood a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
And now is in a race worth $7.5 million.
Yep.
Incentivise is about, you know, is the shortest priced favourite in the Melbourne Cup in many a year after having won the Caulfield Cup.
Yep.
I mean, it's just extraordinary the vein of form coming out of Toowoomba at the moment.
Yeah, you're right.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Well, speaking of Toowoomba, we better take a break. Shane Churlier will be joining us. Or did you want to say something?
No, all good. No. Oh, I'm just taking a deep breath.
A deep breath into the microphone.
Right. I wasn't. I was breathing in, not out.
This is The Punter's Mate.
The Punter's Mate for Racing Queensland.
And now, thanks to Aquis, Australia's leading stallion facility, it's time to check in with our man in Toowoomba, Shane Churlier. Morning, mate. How are you?
Yeah, I'm going well, Mark. How are you?
I'm well. Could you believe what was unfolding before your eyes last Saturday night? It was a night for the ladies, 7 from 7.
Yeah, look, it wasn't a surprise, I suppose. I look back at the card and the girls did dominate the market in almost every, I think, every race bar one in the end. So, it was... good to see. We've got a strong contingent of female riders up here, and they're certainly teaching the boys a lesson at the minute. So we might see a little bit of the same again too Saturday night.
Yeah, I was going to say, can they do it again? Can they make it 2 weeks in a row?
I hope not. So if, I like one in race six that has a male jockey on, so I might have to reassess.
Yeah, look, Ange Jones continues to just roll along and just take everything in her stride. And Georgina Cartwright's been up there a bit, and
Sky
we had on this program a couple of weeks back. So, as you mentioned, Shane, they're not only they're female second, they're terrific jockeys first.
Well, that's the thing. It's I think we're almost past the day as having to have the Ms.
Yeah.
prefix in the form guides, because it doesn't really matter. And that's just obviously we see that everywhere, aren't we? You see Linda Meach. Returned to the saddle in Melbourne and like she never left.
Yeah.
We see it all over the country.
Yeah. Lee Kilner is killing it. Steph is going on great guns as well in Brisbane, and they're all over the shop. Rachel King is heading down to Melbourne riding tomorrow and in the cup, et cetera. So, yeah, you could just keep rolling them off, and you're right. I don't think there's any need anymore. And I think it was only done, wasn't it? And I could be wrong, but I remember growing up that there was a lot of old punters that refused to back a horse there was a female jockey. It just seems extraordinary to think in this day and age that would have been the mindset.
Well, they can ride lighter.
Right.
They can keep their weight down a lot easier than the guys. That's a big help.
Certainly is. The only jockey in Queensland I can think of that might be a little bit of an issue would be Sheridan Tomlinson. I know on social media he's been referred to as a female jockey a few
times. He loves that,
doesn't he? That's why he has a moustache.
Righto, mate. We've got a 7-race card tomorrow at Clifford Park. Give us a couple that you like.
I'll start with race 6, number 4, Drop the Pilot. We've spoken about this horse on the Darling Downlow a couple of times. His first two runs back, as you sort of spotted it, working to the line strongly late over an unsuitable distance, gets here third up to the mile, join a gate. One will just tuck behind what looks like a pretty good tempo on paper, and it'll be the strongest late. Race 6, number 4, Drop the Pilot.
Yep.
That's the best. That's the best.
That's the best. Yep.
That's the best. Pretty difficult card. There's only... I suppose we just want to have a look at the market here for race 3. number of first starters. The interesting runner for me here is number one, Because of the Night. It's pretty strongly supported in the early markets on debut at Ipswich. It ended up only being a three-horse field in the end. Ange Jones rode it that day, and everything just went wrong, which you'd find hard to believe in a three-horse field, but got on heels and had to grab hold, and then the saddle slipped, I believe, and it was a complete forgive. Obviously shown a little bit before going to the races to get that support, and we'll be watching the market here because there's a number of horses here first up that have trialled okay, but this one looks like it's got plenty of ability, so we'll have a keep an eye on it, race three, number one, Because of the Night. Both horses from the Paul Nolan Jr. stable.
Shane, race two, number one, Boom Bye Bye, surely has to break through. It was a good thing beaten last start.
Yeah, it was. Unsuccessful protest too, just to add to the pain for those that were on it. I think the seven, Black Monica, will probably jump on the bunny here with no weight. And Ange Jones, I think they'll send it. And I think Boom Bye Bye can cross the couple that are inside it here and get a nice trail. And I think they'll pair off and fight it out. So looks certainly a good chance.
Now, just before we let you go, Apache Chase tomorrow, the Golden Eagle. Last time you would have seen that in the flesh was at Clifford Park in the Wheatwood. What are your thoughts? We had Desley Forster on the program earlier. Do you reckon that a Wheatwood handicap winner a couple of months later or a month or so later lines up in a $7.5 million race? What are your thoughts?
I suppose what we've seen from the Queensland horses that have travelled south is you've got to give them a chance. Obviously, Emerald Kingdom went down there last week and did fail, but had a few issues. But I think on a firm track in Sydney that's gives you some opportunity, or it's not necessarily on pace bias, but like a firm track and up on speed, I think is going to suit the horse, and it'll get its chance for sure. Obviously, this is a big step up. There's some genuine Group 1 horses here, particularly around the, Private Eye, I'm Thunderstruck. But, look, it's a big field, capacity field as you expect, and, it'll be in front making its own luck. And we see it knocked off that good horse from down south when it come up here. What was it called? One of Mick Price's Ayrton, which was a spruik horse that came up here for the Stradbroke, and it was able to knock it off. So it'll lead and it'll be hard to get past, and we'll be giving it a big cheer, big parochial cheer for sure.
Absolutely, as we will with Incentivise on Tuesday. So it's just a terrific time for Queensland Racing. Good on you, mate. I'll chat to you tomorrow on the Darling Download.
Thanks. Look forward to it. Shane, good luck on the weekend, guys.
You too. Shane Shirley are there with all the latest from Toowoomba, all thanks to Aquis, Queensland's largest stallion facility, home to Pierrata, Invader, Brave Smash, Dubious, Spieth, and more. Visit aquasfarm.com.
No nothing. Updates. No, Kelly's say much as a rule, but he's saying even less at the moment. Nothing. Obviously, the horse is still in the paddock, so we're giving her a bit of time to grow into herself and all that.
You
sort
know,
of
he
stuff.
Also owns a horse now.
I know he does.
Six.
I think everybody knows that now.
He owns six. With Tommy Hackett.
I'd like to know what sort of share he's got in these six horses.
Not much. Not much. Right. Anyway.
It's not about that, though. It's about the fun and the
fun.
Social
and he's
side
having
of it.
Fun, and the horse, Greyland, has only had a trial. I know. That's all. And he's having fun. Now, the weekend forecast. Where are we going to start?
Well, we'll start at Eagle Farm. I don't know what the weather's going to do, but it'd have to be pretty. We'd have to get a downpour to affect this track, and it would have to be during the meeting. So let's just wait and see what happens.
Well, they're
tomorrow.
Forecasting potentially 15 mil, up to 15 mil tomorrow.
Yeah, it all depends when that comes.
It does.
Yeah, that's right.
And a storm.
So hopefully,
today.
After 5:22 tomorrow afternoon would be enough. Perfect. Okay, race one, number two. Now this is going to be on paper a massive day for Tony Gollan. He could train five winners tomorrow quite easily. First of them in race one, number two, Big Muskie for Steph Thornton. Big Muskie was very good last start at the end of 1400, weaved his way through the field into second spot behind Rhapsody Rose and did a good job on that occasion against the tempo too. So up to 1600 metres is perfect. He's by all too hard, so he wants further than that 1400 and he gets that tomorrow. So race one, number two, Big Muskie. You won't get yourself a new car out of the proceeds because he's fairly short in the market. Probably all depends on how much you have on him, but I expect him to be winning. So race one, number two. We'll go to race 10 for the next good thing, and that's Tony Gollan again. This time Jimmy Orman rides, number 6, Salatine. Better Get Set and Salatine had the race to themselves here. Better Get Set's a scratching. So that leaves Salatine, who ran a good third last time out, running on from the back of the field behind Centrefire. That was a couple of weeks ago. Centrefire got a pretty soft lead on that occasion. Salatine's run was good, considering that she missed the start by a couple of lengths also. So from gate five, she just needs to jump. Jimmy Orman will have her in a nice spot, and she should be able to pound slate. So race 10, number six, Salatine. That's a nice little all-up. Race one, number two, race 10, number six. Now, a couple at better odds. Race five, number nine, Be Water, My Friend, was very good at the Sunshine Coast first up. Missed the start, got to the outside in the straight. Ran on very well with 60.5 kilos. Just peaked late. Did a good job to make that ground, though. So Be Water, My Friend, probably would have won the race with better luck and a better start. This is a tough race. You'll probably get double figures, but happy to have something small each way. Race 5, number 9, Be Water, My Friend. And race 8, number 7, Sienna's Choice for Steph here. Sienna's Choice was stepped up to 1,800 metres last start, peaked at about the 100-metre mark. She didn't run it out. She's back to the mile tomorrow. She's well placed with only 54.5, and I think she can get away with that race at around $5 or $6 when I last checked the market. So there, a couple at value, race 5, number 9, race 8, number 7, and a couple short, race 1, number 2, and race 10, number 6.
And Boris Watch is Gold Coast, race 1, number 2.
What's the name of that?
Shopping-wise.
Okay.
Because we always go early with Boris. He likes to peak early. So Boris Watch, tomorrow, race 1, number 2 at Aquas Gold Coast, Shopping Wire. But it sounds like Steph's going to have a big day.
Well, she's on a lot of these.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, these Tony Gollan horses. So if he's going to have a big day, then so is Steph. So I'd follow them tomorrow. If we could have a trainer's, what do they have, a jockey's, what they use for the jockey when you try to get the jockey?
Challenge. Right?
Jockey's challenge. Yeah. We could get a trainer's challenge. Tony Gollan would be well in the red.
Yeah, like Chris Waller in
every
in
week.
New South Wales. That's why. That's most probably why they don't have it.
Yeah, because it'd be the same favourites every
exactly.
week.
Exactly. Now, just before we go, Golden Eagle.
I'm hoping for Apache Chase. I really am, because it'd be great for Desley and great for Jimmy Byrne. I'm Thunderstruck, I think, is the horse to beat, though. That Toorak run was very good, or the Toorak win. And the start before in the Rupert Clark, he went back from gate 16 and he sat last, 16th, and he did a terrific job to run third, weaving his way home. So he's the one for me. Huey Bowman will ride this time around, but as I say, the head is I'm Thunderstruck, the heart definitely Apache Chase.
The Derby?
The Derby, I'm going with Gunstock, number 4, and I'm going to have something small each way on number 7, Jungle Magnate as well. So 4 and 7.
Thanks very much for your company, mate. Have a great weekend. You'll
too.
Be back with Patton Heels on Tuesday morning to give your thoughts on the Melbourne Cup as well. And
sure
a big
will.
Day of racing, of course, around Queensland on Melbourne Cup Day, as we heard before.
Massive.
12 meetings, so we'll get all your selections for all those meetings on Tuesday.
You'll be on there for a while.
Have yourselves a great weekend. That's the Punters, mate. We're back next Friday morning from 8:30. Enjoy what is a huge weekend of sport.